and to you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Who is blind? Who is blind? If you listen to this morning's gospel, anyone can answer that question. Who is blind? In the story of this morning's gospel, we have a man, obviously, who is blind, who is given his sight by our Lord. But there's actually more to the story than just a man given his sight. If you know anything about the Lenten season, the season of Lent is really about preparation. It was a time historically when the catechumens, those who were learning the faith, would study and prepare for entrance into the church on Holy Saturday. We're not talking about 4 weeks, we're not talking about 12 weeks, we're not even talking about a year. Sometimes it's years that the people would prepare because they would be going from the world of darkness and sin into the light of the gospel through holy baptism on Holy Saturday. So the catechumens were preparing, and so the reading today ties in specifically with the catechumens, those who were blind in the world, following the desires of their heart, and then being transformed into the kingdom of God, and literally being enlightened. You know anything about the early church fathers? They referred to baptism as illumination. Of course, the Gnostic fathers and people took that and run with that and talked about secret knowledge. But the church talked about illumination being found in baptism and being found in Christ. That we were literally blinded by the world, the sin that we hold to ourselves and the devil. And then it's through the waters of holy baptism that we are given illumination. Literally, we're given new sight. So it's not just simply about one man who is blind and then he sees. It really has to do with the catechumens, and really, in a sense, it has to do with all of us, because we're all growing, we're all learning, and we're all on this journey together. So let's take a look at this. Who's blind? Well, first of all, literally, it's this guy. He can't see, he's never seen, and so as Jesus walks by, he sees this man, and he has pity on him. So he takes mud, puts the saliva there, places it in his eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. If you've ever been to Israel, the pool of Siloam actually exists today. It's not fully there. In fact, there's only parts of it there. Most of it is underground, but it's the southern part of Israel, the city of David. It was a place where King Hezekiah created a pool of water for the people of Israel. And the term itself, Siloam, literally means sent. And so Jesus puts the mud on his eyes, makes saliva, and then he says, go. He's sending this man. And he goes, and he washes, and he sees. This is also an illustration of not just this man, it's all of us. Because all of us, by nature, are born into this world separated from God. By nature, we are born blind and separate from God. By nature, we are born into sin, and we need to have illumination. It's interesting that Jesus takes the mud and the saliva and places it on this man's eyes and then tells him to wash. Well, there are two symbols here. The first symbol is obviously creation. If you know the story of creation, God takes the mud, and he forms the mud, and he breathes into the mud, and it is through that that a man comes forth, Adam. Now, if there's one thing I learned from seminary that I'll never forget is my Hebrew teacher. He would drill into us all of these words, and the only word, or a couple words, hesed stood out in my mind, forgiveness and loving kindness. But the other word is Adam, which means man of mud. That's literally what Adam means. It means a man of mud. So God creates this man out of mud and breathes into him the breath of life. And so here we have Jesus, you know, the firstborn of creation, gathering up the mud, putting his spittle there, placing it on his eyes, and then giving this man really a new birth, a creation, if you will. And there's also an illustration of baptism, obviously, as the man is sent to the pool of Siloam and he washes, just like in Elijah in 2 Kings, he comes back cleansed, he comes back seeing. And so this also is an illustration or a type, if you will, of holy baptism. as the catechumens were preparing for holy baptism. But who else is blind? If you look at the readings this morning, who else beside this blind man is blind? Do you know? Well, if you heard the readings and you listened to the readings, it is my servant, the servant of the Lord. We hear it in Isaiah. God is speaking to the servant, and he says, you have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear. You're blind. You don't understand. Who is this servant of the Lord? Well, at first glance, we would say the servant of the Lord is Jesus, but that doesn't apply here. He's without sin. He's impeccable. There's no defect in him at all. He's without sin. He's perfect. So who is the servant of the Lord? It's Israel. Israel was called out from all of the nations to be light to the nations. That was their calling. From Abraham on to all of the patriarchs to the forming of the nation of Israel, their one purpose was to be the light to the nations. They weren't to hold it on or bring it into themselves or hold on to it themselves. They were to share it. They, as God's chosen people, were called for the purpose of bringing light and mercy and grace to all people. But what happened? Well, they began to think that it was only for them. They held it close to themselves, and they alienated and separated themselves from other people. And so we see the same behavior with the Pharisees. Jesus is ministering to this man, and the Pharisees are saying, "How could this happen to you?" And then they start asking him. Now, our text doesn't even get into the full story. If you read the full text, these Pharisees pull this man in once or twice. And, you know, they actually interview the parents because the parents are responsible for the children. And so they call the parents and they say to the parent, "How can this person see?" And what does the parent say? Well, because they're Jewish and because they don't want to be cast out of the synagogue, they say, "Well, we're not going to answer for this guy. He's of age. Why don't you ask him yourself?" And that's part of the reading. Why? What's the concern? The concern is that they were afraid of the Jews. They didn't want to be cast out. And so you see this arrogancy with the Pharisees. They don't listen to this man. They feel that he's born into sin, and they don't want to listen to him. And so they don't listen to the gospel or the good news. In fact, they throw the man out. Who else could be blind? Besides this man, besides Israel, besides the Pharisees, who else could be blind? Could it be the church today? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. Maybe you'll think about it and come to your own conclusions. But anytime religion takes the place of following the light, anytime rules and regulations become so important that people don't listen or see or follow the light, then perhaps the church is blind. Anytime people want to control the outcome or the circumstances and to keep it within the group and not listen to other people, well, they're not sharing the light with other people. And so it's possible that the church today is blind just like Israel was of old, that the pattern is getting repeated in our age today. And so we have an opportunity during this Lenten time to examine our hearts, examine the mission of the church, and to really repent, just as the catechumens would. The catechumens would prepare for baptism. And for us who already have been disciples and already have been baptized, it's a wonderful experience to return to our baptism. And how do we do that? We do that by repenting. We do that by confessing our sins and recognizing that it's possible also to be blind. You know, there's certain things that I know for certain. One is I know I'm standing here and I'm speaking to you in English. I know it for a fact. I also know that I cannot speak German. Never learned it. Maybe one word, two words, but I don't know German. I don't know the language. So I know there's certain things that I do know, and there's certain things that I know that I don't know. But what catches me up or hooks me up are those things that I do not know that I do not know. It's the blind spot. It's the things that we're not even aware of. And so Lent is an opportunity to allow God to make things aware to us that we normally would not see. You see, what happens with the ministry of Jesus, how he anoints this man's eyes and tells him to go wash, then Jesus, the sent one, goes to him. As the perfect Siloam, he goes to him and he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" At this point, he doesn't even understand what that means. And he says, "Who is the Son of Man?" And Jesus says, "The one who is speaking to you right now is the Son of Man." And he says, "I believe," and he worships. That's the mission of the church. It's that simple. We are called as the body of Christ out of darkness into the marvelous light of his gospel through holy baptism to be light for other people. Paul writes in today's epistle, "You were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord." And this is our calling. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.